Hello.
And welcome to the underground.
Yeah, the Society of the Underground.
The Society of the Underground Drive-In.
The original drive-in is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
We blew it up.
No, we didn't blow it up. The Great Burning blew it up.
The Great Burning.
So join us for the new something iteration of the drive-in.
Yes.
The underground. The society. Join us.
The secrets. The secrets within.
The secrets within. We have the archives, we have our transistor radio, and we have our case files. So join us.
Yes, and we have our midnight goblins or gremlins. What are the, what the fuck?
The riders.
Oh, midnight gremlins.
Yes. Our midnight gremlins going out and getting our archives.
Yeah, sorry, we just hired them, so yeah. I forgot their names. Yeah. We all can relate to forgetting your new coworkers' names.
It's really hard to read resumes down here.
Yes, this is dark and dreary.
We need new archives here and there, and we can't go out, so we send out little midnight gremlins to get new archives. And by archives, we mean movies.
Movies, because we're bored.
Yes.
It's very boring when there's no more driving.
We're not welcome on the above grounds, as we call it. Or we don't really call it that. We'll call it many different things, because we're not very consistent.
There's one thing that we are, and it's not consistent.
But yeah, it's Jarrett the Kaiju Man Waglin.
And me.
Me. And I.
And Mia Lisa.
Mia Lisa.
Alisa Weglin. Alisian. Alisa Alien.
The conspiracy prober.
Yes, I probe you.
Oh, yes, probe me, baby.
I probe you for conspiracy.
Probe me, baby.
Oh, baby.
That's one of the movies we have our Midnight Riders searching for. We need some Austin Powers.
Yes, so shagadelic.
So, the first thing that we are going to be tackling is our we call it the airwaves. Go to the news, and then after the news, we go to the archives. The archives is the movies.
Yes.
Those are the sacred archives.
We'll
talk about a movie. When we have to talk about a movie, and we'll talk about the archives, and then we'll move on to a case file. We have a very good case file. We opened up a can of worms with this one.
Yes, we were inspired by our archives.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the can of worms live where this case file kind of is. That's kind of a clue, I guess. Not really. But yeah, that's a good rundown, I guess.
Yeah, a rundown indeed.
Yes.
There ever was one.
We may have done a little too much dab-a-doo.
Doobity-doo, shaggity-doo.
But
shagadelic, baby.
Let's jump into our little transistor crazy radio. Yeah.
Turn the knobs, baby.
Find the waves, the airwaves, see what's up there on the above grounds. What's the news up there?
There seems to be a sculpture.
Oh, yes. This sounds like top news.
Top news. There's a Bigfoot sculpture.
Oh, yes.
So please be advised that the eyes appear to glow. Sounds like something the giant would say in Twin Peaks.
Oh, yes. Beware of the Bigfoot sculpture. They're not what they are. They're not what they seem. Ooh. Where's this Bigfoot sculpture?
It's in North Carolina.
And what's happening?
It's alarming drivers. And it's freaking them out. It's got flared nostrils.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's got very scary abdominal muscles. Like, check these out.
Scary?
Check these out. Very, what? Very nice.
That's not scary. That's kind of arousing.
Well, its face is very,
I think,
polite looking compared to its body.
I think that it's not scary. I think it's just intimidating to some of these guys that just got beer bellies in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, North Carolina. Oh,
this Bigfoot's kind of making my wife want to leave me. They want me to leave me for this Bigfoot with the glowing eyes in the forest.
That's what I did. I left society for Bigfoot, and I went up to Washington.
With me.
You're the Bigfoot.
Why do don't you have abdominal muscles like the Bigfoot?
Well, clearly this sculpture isn't the ideal Bigfoot shirt.
Why not?
It's putting out an unrealistic body image for the Bigfoots.
Yeah.
Okay.
There shouldn't really be any set body image for the Bigfoots.
There should not be.
Because all of them say they're 7 foot tall, 8 foot tall, and they're strong. Where's the Danny DeVito Bigfoot? I want a Danny DeVito Bigfoot friend.
Danny DeVito, please make a Bigfoot movie where you are Bigfoot. So there was people calling 911 about this Bigfoot statue.
There's not enough gay marriages happening in North Carolina for them to call the cops on.
Nope. And one of these, it said, the dispatcher said it was the 9th time today.
Oh my God, someone had called, dude,
about the Bigfoot statue.
Jesus Christ.
The eyes glowed. The eyes glowed.
It's probably just from their headlights and shit.
That exactly, but is, you know, when you're driving and you get spooked by the Bigfoot statue.
I would definitely stop and question them. But I wouldn't detain him.
You're smarter than the people who called 911 on the Bigfoot statue.
But I wouldn't stop him more than once, because then that's just specious.
Fool me once.
Shame on you.
Fool me twice. Shame on Bigfoot. There you go.
All right, let's change to a different snooze frequency.
All right. So, Colorado alien abduction author.
Oh.
Extremely contagious illness prevents court appearance.
Oh, what's this guy's name again?
So, this guy, we watched a documentary on him.
Yeah, that's right.
This is Stanley Romanek.
Oh, yeah. Stan Romanek.
Oh, boy. This guy.
This guy, he had a movie. I think we watched it on Amazon. It kind of starts off kind of interesting. He's like, I think it's... I think that's the Bigfoot?
Yeah, that's our local Bigfoot doing a call.
Bigfoot Pacific Northwest. Anyways, Stan Romanek. We watched this movie. I think it starts in the 90s. I think this is the one where he's like on the side of the road. He's filming UFOs. And then all of a sudden it's like increases into him at his house. He's being tortured with phone calls of aliens, and then like weird girl alien type creatures.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're like his children.
Yeah.
And then they tap into his phone and they're like, Daddy.
Daddy, it's us.
Daddy, we love you, Daddy. And oh my God. And he thinks like everyone thinks this is real.
Daddy. And he ended up being a child molester, right?
He has possession of child pornography.
That's right, that's right.
And he is saying that he cannot come to court because he has an extremely contagious disease.
Oh, yes. Okay.
That is what this news article...
Yeah, it's called... Yeah, I don't know if pedophilia is contagious, but...
it's extremely contagious,
I think you can go to court for that, and you should... Fuck you, man. Just go to fucking court, you piece of shit.
I don't think it says here what illness he is even claiming to fucking have.
Piece of shit?
Piece of shit disease.
I don't know.
There you go. Okay, next.
For one thing, the top violation here is, of course, the pedophilia.
Yes.
And then, of course, on the lower end, he's faking UFO videos.
What the fuck? And also faking being a child alien hybrid on the phone going, Daddy, Daddy.
And I think his wife was in on it too.
Yeah, and they had like these weird videos of them like looking in the window as aliens like, hello, Daddy.
And he would like claim to get shocked by the phone, I think, and go to like the hospital repeatedly. So he's wasting EMT's time. So he's just a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, if you want some,
it is in hindsight, now that you know that he's a piece of shit, it's probably an okay documentary to watch if he's not getting money for it.
Yes.
So you probably find it on Vimeo or fucking pirate it or something.
Yeah. Do not fund him.
Yeah.
So let's tune in to the next station. Oh. Would you look at this?
Oh, my.
Possible Bigfoot sightings reported in northeast Georgia.
Oh, what you doing over there, Bigfoot?
Well, possibly stomping on some woman haters. Because Georgia's full of some fucking woman-hating motherfuckers.
Oh, political.
Called out. Well, okay, the people in Georgia, maybe not so much the politicians.
Yes, so...
Vote them out. So there was two in the last week, and they were posted on a Facebook page for Expedition Bigfoot.
Yeah, oh, Expedition Bigfoot's pretty legit in the Bigfoot community.
Oh, and are you a part of it, Jared?
No.
It's a museum in Cherry Log, Georgia.
Cherry Log, baby.
So it's dedicated to Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, they said that the driver braked when he saw what he described as a very dark 7 to 8 foot tall, hairy two-legged creature with a pointed head. Not unlike, I would say, a Harry of the Henderson, maybe?
Harry of the Henderson clan.
you know what I'm speaking about.
Yes.
Well, the Harry and the Hendersons, I added to the person did not write this on the post.
No.
Here's a picture. I do not know, Jared, if you saw this picture.
That is definitely a Henderson. Whoa.
That is a Henderson. That is related to John Lithgow.
He looks kind of grumpy, though. That looks like a grumpy uncle of a Henderson.
Well, I don't think he appreciated the car coming at him.
Well, the Southern Bigfoots, of all the stories we've read, have been the ones that have been more grumpy.
They're more violent.
Yeah, that's where the Bigfoot War happened. And, the Pacific Northwest Bigfoots have always been the better ones.
The more peaceful.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just the stories that I've read. Carry on.
So he said that the arms were very long and it walked with the arms extended from its sides. You know, like Bigfoots have been rumored to do.
Don't we all walk with our arms extended from the side? Except the T-Rex. Those have them on the front.
I don't know, man. How do you describe, like, how someone's arms are?
Yeah, I don't know.
So he pulled over, skidding on the gravel, and waited on the backside of the small patch of woods, thinking it would emerge on the other side, but it never did.
Oh.
Nope.
Disappeared like the forest man. The fabled forest man.
The fabled forest man.
That's the most important news of the week.
His own wife didn't believe him. It was no bear. It was walking straight up.
Not no bear. That was no bear.
That was no bear. Well, anyway, Georgia,
I'm
watch out.
You, that was no bear, Charlene. I'm going to stay with my brother.
That's what we've caught.
So far.
That's all we've caught. We haven't heard anything about what's happened to the drive-in.
Yeah. Except the fire and the ash.
The fire.
Yeah.
And all that ash.
So, one beautiful thing is the blessing of our great Lord and Savior Godzilla's movie that has come out. We did manage to get a copy of that archive from one of our Midnight Gremlins.
Yeah. One of them really went all out for us on that.
He did die in the process, but we did manage to get at least an arm and a leg back.
And they were really tasty.
Yeah, pretty good. Not bad. But the most important thing is that we got the movie, and before that we watched the first Godzilla.
Which we already had.
Yeah, of course. What did you think of the new Godzilla?
Well, I thought it was really...
As a whole package.
As a whole package, it was really cool.
Cool.
It was really cool. I just thought that the monster design was really, really good in this one. I loved Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mothra's my absolute favorite, and I loved what they did with her. But I didn't tell you that how much I really loved King Ghidorah and Rodan. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that what they did with Rodan, like, making him pretty much made of lava.
Oh,
was
yeah.
So cool. I loved King Ghidorah, like, how his heads all had different personalities and how, like, his scales look so good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he just looked so, like, angry and vicious. But I just thought that the character design was really, really nice.
Oh, yeah. It was spot on. How Rodan had the embers coming off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate how he burned Mothra.
Yes, we should say spoilers. You probably should have seen it.
Spoilers.
Whatever. we'll say spoilers in the description. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's really sad how he burned Mothra, but also a really great defensive mechanism,
yeah,
you know, for a monster to have. And also, I know everybody hates on Chunk Godzilla, but he was looking mad thick in this movie. Yeah.
They slimmed him down a small bit, but I don't hate on the Chunk Godzilla anyways. But, I mean, you have to have differences. It is definitely Americanized, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like an American monster. You can always tell, I think, between, like, the American Godzillas and the Japanese Godzillas. Like, there's such a difference between, like, American monsters.
American pop culture really loves the dinosaur look.
Yes.
And reptile looks in particular. And the Asian pop culture, it'll definitely go that way, but it'll go more fantastical.
I mean, we just watched this really interesting video on Godzilla and how his skin was not even based off of, like, dinosaur skin. It was based off of the wounds that people had after nuclear attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the scars.
So that is something that's just so different that you don't even, like, I don't even think that an American monster creator would.
Yeah, his head was supposed to be a mushroom cloud. It wasn't even supposed to be a dinosaur face. It was supposed to be. He probably wouldn't have been a long-lasting character because it would be so odd-looking.
Yeah.
And probably wouldn't have been popular in America either. Probably been a one-movie shot kind of thing. But anyways.
But he definitely, like, looks so interestingly different. But I don't know.
Yeah, what I thought about the character design is I didn't really particularly 100% like Mothra at first when they were showing her before the movie. But then when I saw her in the movie, I was 100% on board. How they used her, how graceful she flew, and then how flew in the action scenes as well. And how they gave her some more weapons, which is definitely American.
Yeah.
You know, they probably wouldn't have done that in Japan. Like, in the Japanese version, they gave her a little more beam kind of attacks, but they never would have given her, like, a stinger like they did in this movie.
Well, I really liked her, like, front, like little piercers.
Like, Praying Mantis type things.
Like, I really liked that kind of attack that they gave her, because it felt like she always was so defenseless. Like, I didn't necessarily think that she needed more than that. And I also thought that her string shot was awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was so effective. And I thought that her relationship with Godzilla in this movie was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, the symbiotic thing. I mean, without going too crazy fantastical, it was definitely, like, on a believable side. They kind of kept it.
Yeah, they didn't make it, like, too cheesy. Out of this world.
Yeah.
I really loved also the way that they portrayed the... Well, having Sarazawa be, like, this person who is, like, they're just animals and, you know, we should treat them with respect and they didn't ask to be born.
No, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, he didn't say they didn't ask to be born.
No, but...
But it was kind of that, like, same feel. But I feel like there was this really great message in this one that I feel like still American Godzillas don't really reach the same level that Japanese Godzillas do in the way that their messages in the movie. Because you kind of leave, like, a Japanese Godzilla feeling haunted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like, oh, like, we're going to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain things you leave and you're like, oh, yeah, woo. And then there's certain things you're feeling, like, haunted.
There were definitely a lot of esoteric moments in this movie, like a lot of moments that people that don't know the old series wouldn't get. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think that there was a lot of stuff involving, like, the scientists and Sarazawa and his partner and all that stuff that if you, or in Monarch, that if you hadn't seen, like, the first Godzilla, you might have been confused.
Yeah, that and, like, even the most of the Showa series, not even just the Sarazawa stuff, but especially the Sarazawa stuff. I don't want to sound like I was a fan of Godzilla before you guys kind of thing, but, like, the Sarazawa stuff. In this film, Sarazawa's bringing Godzilla back to life, and in the original, Serizawa was killing Godzilla.
Yeah.
Even though both were emotional. Serizawa didn't really want to kill Godzilla, even though he knew he had to, with this, mainly because he didn't want to use that oxygen destroyer. But anyways, also there's things like the Mothra-Godzilla relationship. Most people probably didn't really grasp onto that if they weren't fans of the old series.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because we were talking to my grandfather,
yeah,
and he was like, oh, they just put so many monsters in this because they wanted to sell toys. And I was like, no, Grandpa, these four monsters have battled each other. Like, it's kind of like a throwback, like, you know, they're doing mm-hmm. a shout-out. And he was like, oh, well, probably, yeah.
First of all, I gotta say, the Godzilla toys for this movie suck.
Yeah, we have the big Godzilla.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a trope for Mothra to, spoiler, die and then bring Godzilla back. She's done it for like three or four times.
I was going to say, it's very Mothra to sacrifice herself.
Yeah, sacrifice herself for... She's even in the reverse form. She's done it to bring Ghidorah back to kill Godzilla in the movie where Godzilla's the bad guy. But it's just very Mothra for her to kill herself. Anyways, there's just very esoteric things that the director made me think that he was a big fan of, or at least he did his very extensive homework of the old series, and that's why I really like this movie.
Yeah, there was definitely, like, even small things that we noticed.
Yep. I can't
think of them now. Anyway.
But we have to move on anyways. This is not a movie show. This is a variety show now.
Fooled you. Fooled you once. Shame on me.
One of the best parts of the movie, though, one of the most interesting parts, is when they go down, Serizawa, speaking of Serizawa, he goes down to help revamp Godzilla after a long fight. And they confirm something called the Hollow Earth.
Yes.
And that's where Godzilla spends his time to recoup after fights. And he, I guess, just lives there because there's a kingdom there where people used to live and worship him. I don't know. Live with him. Party with him.
Dine with him.
Yeah. Ride him.
I want to live there. But
that leads us.
This leads us. We were intrigued. We were like, let's investigate.
Yeah. We like this kind of spooky stuff. So
we dug into our pile of files.
Yeah. You know that pile of files? We still got that pile.
Yeah. And we are going exploring
the Hollow Earth.
Yeah. And we got to say, we're starting a fight right off the back, saying Flat Earth is weak, y'all.
Hollow Earth is where it's at.
Boom. We're doing the Fortnite dances right now.
I don't know what the Fortnite dances are.
I'm dabbing. I'm doing the dance move of the dab.
Dance move of the dab.
Okay. Enough being cool.
So this all, of course, where it all gets instilled in our brains, where there's something below our feet, is when these people are like, you know, there's a hell down there. You're going to go to hell. Fire and lava down there. And then there's people with pitchforks poking you.
See, that's what I thought when I was a kid.
Of course.
People said hell.
That's what I thought, too. And, you know, that's the first installation in your brain that there's a Hollow Earth. It's somewhat confirmed. Not the hell part, but the fact that there's fire down there when you go to science class. But
there's not fire.
Just the lava.
There's a fire in the earth.
But you know, lots of different religions had hell down there. Not just Christian religion. Like, I kind of grew up in a Christian religion, but definitely not now, obviously. Praise Godzilla, hail Satan.
Praise Godzilla, hail Satan.
So there's the Greek underworld.
Yes, with Hades and Persephone.
I can go the distance.
Dude, that's not Hercules. That's Mulan.
What's Hercules? Isn't there a song in Hercules with distance in it? Go the distance.
With the word distance?
Yeah, go the distance. I can go the distance.
Shazam! I can go the distance.
I gotta check it out, man.
Till I find my something that I write and I write it. Yes.
I'm not an idiot.
I remembered.
Here we go. This is gonna be a good bit.
You just sang it in the tune to defeat
I
the
can
home.
Go the distance to defeat the Huns. Hercules could have really defeated the Huns. Easy. This is our underworld, just like education.
This is our Hollow Earth edumacation. It's gonna take a while. It's like into the chorus. Hey,
there you go.
I can go the distance.
Yeah.
I don't care how far.
I can go the distance to defeat the Huns.
I will. I would go almost anywhere. Find where I belong.
To defeat the Huns.
It's beautiful.
See, I wasn't that wrong. Anyways, where were we?
We were talking about how there's Hercules in the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, Hades is the one in the ancient Greeks. And the Nordics have one, and of course the Christian hell.
And James Woods.
James Woods does deserve to go to hell. Yes.
He does.
Yes.
Go to hell, James Woods.
Go to hell, James Woods. And then, of course,
now in our t-shirt store, go to hell, James Woods.
Go to hell, James Woods. And of course, and even the Tibetan Buddhists have a story of Shambhala, which is located inside the earth.
That sounds like a really fun city.
I think there's, you could do a whole episode on Shambhala.
Shambhala!
Yeah. Let's go on to the theories on how you can get inside the Hollow Earth.
I like the name for this one.
Or just how it is hollow. Just theories on how it's hollow.
Yeah, what's up with this?
Holes at the poles.
Holes at the poles! What's up with the holes at the poles?
So, some people say that the Earth is hollow and you can get in through holes at the poles.
Up from the top, under the bottom.
And it's also a porn category.
Holes at the poles?
Holes at the poles. So this is actually the most prevalent Hollow Earth theory I've found out. And that's what most people will go to prove their own theories afterwards. They'll go, okay, this is how we get in there, and then this is what's in there.
Okay, so there's holes at the poles.
Yes.
But inside is ice cream.
Yes. There's holes at the poles. This is how you go in there. And then, that's where you dip your pretzel in the mustard.
I like our Hollow Earth theories. It's filled with food.
They're all food.
I think we're hungry.
What's the deal?
What the fuck?
With the holes in the poles.
What's the deal with those poles?
So this theory was more or less popularized by a man named John Cleve Sims. At the beginning of the 19th century.
This bastard.
He put out a declaration. He put out a pamphlet. This is how you do things back then. He didn't have a YouTube channel like these flat earthers or these anti-vaxxers or these other earthers.
These other stupid idiots.
Whoa, we don't want to malign other idiots. He put out a pamphlet in some newspaper. I don't know what it was, but you could find it anywhere. He said, I declare the earth is hollow and habitable within, containing a number of solid concentric spheres, one within the other, and that it is open at the poles. I pledge my life in support of this truth, and I am ready to explore the hollow. If the world will support and aid me in this undertaking. He wrote this in 1818, and he basically was like,
he was apparently like 120 years old.
Everybody was 118 in 1818. But basically, he was like, give me money. I want to travel.
Give me money. Money, please.
Money, please.
Well, this man convinced John Adams.
Our fucking president.
Our president, Donald Trump number one, first Donald Trump, to approve an expedition to the center of the earth. Although it's believed that he was more interested in the trip to Antarctica than the Hollow Earth. The expedition never went through, though, so fuck both of them.
God damn it, Sims. And here's another one. This one's harder to explain without, like, a video.
We need you guys to go look at our PowerPoint.
We have no PowerPoint. This is... This one was thought up by Cyrus Reed Teed. And he proposed that the Earth was an inverted Earth. Now, by that I mean, think of a ping pong ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not on the outside of that ping pong ball. That ping pong ball is hollow. Now, hollow Earth, hollow ping pong ball.
Now,
we're not on that outside of that ping pong ball. We're on the inside of the shell of that ping pong ball, okay?
Whoa.
So we're on the inside of the shell looking towards the center of that hollow ping pong ball. And
so we're all looking at each other.
No, there's space inside. That's where the space is, what we're looking at.
How is the space so small?
It's huge. That we don't know. They didn't have astronauts.
Oh, okay. I wanted an inverted hollow earther to please email us.
And he said that the stars were pieces of ice floating around.
Mmm.
And he said that the universe was actually another ball that was floating around. And yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
But he said that if anyone did not believe his theory, that means they did not believe in heaven, which means they did not inherently believe in God, which means they were going to go to hell. So that was one of the ways that he proved his theory. Like, boom, gotcha, fuck you.
Like, if you didn't believe his theory, you didn't believe in heaven?
Yeah, because he also believed that he was an incarnation of Jesus Christ. I forgot to mention that part, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
That doesn't really matter because he sounds crazy anyways.
He does.
Yeah, he thought he was an incarnation of Jesus Christ. So, moving on. What is inside the Earth? Past the theories, we're moving on to what could possibly be inside the Earth, Elisa.
What could it be? Candy.
Candy? You want it to be candy.
We're going back to foods inside the Earth.
Well, what do you think?
Well, among most believers, the inside of the hollow earth is a lush tropical paradise that very likely houses an advanced race of humans. They're called Lemurians.
Yeah.
Well, some of them. Some aliens.
Yeah, there's lots of theories. There's giant creatures. Sometimes they're human aliens.
There's woolly mammoths.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and Jules Verne, one of the most visionary authors of any time.
A great one.
A wonderful man. Love him.
I don't know about his personal life, but he's a good author.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna speak on him personally. Spoke of a void at the center of the earth and wrote of a journey down the vent tubes of an Icelandic volcano.
Yeah, and in that story, there were dinosaurs, another giant
creature.
Dinosaurs. Dinosaur dino DNA. So we have a treat before us. Treat for you.
A treat, and it's not candy.
Yeah, it's not candy. I'm sorry. I mean, this clip, I'm sure some of you have heard it before, but it's definitely a treat.
It's definitely a treat. It's a spooky treat. It's creepy beepy.
Yeah, it's definitely creepy. I think some people say it's spirits. Some people say it's a demon. I think it's creatures. What do you
think? I think, well, that's why we're going to play everything, because I think it might be some creatures inside of the earth. This is the Well to Hell.
Well to Hell.
I just recently began listening Heart to your radio show and could not believe it when you talked about the sounds from hell tonight.
Coast to Coast. I forgot to mention this. This is from Coast to Coast.
Of course, my favorite.
Ago, and I didn't believe them. Like one of your listeners who discounted the story as nothing more than just a religious newspaper fabricated account. The story about the digging, the hearing of the sounds from hell is very real. It did occur in Siberia. My uncle collected videos and so forth on the paranormal, supernatural. He passed away fairly recently, but he would have loved your show. He let me listen to one of the audio tapes that he had on the sounds from hell in Siberia, and I copied it. He received his copy from a friend who works at the BBC.
I must warn you.
It took me a while to find...
I love how spooked he is.
He's very scared right now.
Art Bell is not my favorite, even though, rest in peace.
Quality, but the sounds are there.
George and Ori's the best.
I was very hesitant to send you this, as the sound bothers me to listen to. I'd suggest that if you do play it on the program, warn listeners in advance so they may have the option of turning the radio off.
Warning.
Warning, guys.
While it plays.
It's scary.
Haunted me. To those who discounted the Siberia sounds from Hell's story, it is true, and I, for one, wish it wasn't.
It is true.
Rick, listening from Chicago.
All right, guys.
I submit now the cleaned, a better copy to
blow
you,
out the headphones.
And I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Ow!
I can put it in later.
So,
Jesus Christ.
Very lots of screams.
Yeah, I think sounds like Rodans, maybe some pterodactyls.
Ooh, yes. Well,
maybe some big dragonflies.
Ooh. It definitely sounds like lots of
disturbed. I did that pretty good there.
You did.
But yeah.
So the Well to Hell, or also known, it's also known as the Kola Super Deep Borehole. Ooh. It was actually something that was dug by the Russians in May of 1970.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of this mission was to dig as deep as possible into the Earth's crust. Really just going for it.
The
Russians like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just going for it. It's reached as deep as 7.6 miles in 1989, and it's still the deepest artificial point on Earth.
Jesus.
A lot of the research done around the borehole was about seismic activity. It was about seismic activity. The Well to Hell story, however, is slightly different. They say that they dug 8.9 miles down until they hit an opening in the rock. So there's like this actual story about this Kola borehole.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like this spooky creepypasta
that's
about like this Well to Hell with this creepy sound. But they have like a slightly different mileage and then like a slightly different story.
Mm-hmm.
But once they lowered a heat-resistant microphone for this well-to-hell story, they heard the screams from hell. A lot of people believe this is a hoax, though, because the sounds from the clip have been found in the soundtrack for the movie Blood Baron.
Oh,
however,
geez.
It could be more likely that instead of hell, it is the monsters inside of the earth, as I have, as we have talked about, but I wrote that. I'm like,
we're monsters.
I'm like Ron Burgundy. Like, I can't not
Ron
read what's
Burgundy?
In it. Like, I start reading shit in the notes.
The
and I'm
monsters
like, we
under
talk-
the ears.
I already talked about that.
If they are there, I will praise our new monster overlords.
Praise them and their screams.
And we, living underground now, we are closer to them, so.
Yeah, they might come to us first.
Mm-hmm.
So if we stop
we will be
broadcasting... They came for us.
Or we are their new right-hand man and woman.
So if we keep broadcasting and our message gets weird.
Or more powerful.
Or more powerful.
Anywho, one of the most referenced thing of Hollow Earth is something that's supposed to not even be about Hollow Earth at all. Yes. And that's because it's a government cover-up.
Those never happen.
What? Yeah. Never.
Never, ever.
Never, never, never. There's no aliens under the mountains in the deserts in Dulce Base or Area 51 or anything like that. Anyways, this is called Operation High Jump. A real military operation that we'll get into after I introduce you to a man called Richard Byrd.
Tweet, tweet.
In 1926, a man called Richard Byrd, he flew a plane to the Antarctic. No.
No.
He flew a plane to the North Pole, which is different than the Antarctic.
Did he meet Santa?
No, he didn't. Which is why they covered it up.
Because there was no fucking Santa.
No, he became a hero because he flew to the North Pole. Because he was, I think he was the first man to do it.
Wow.
And they gave him a Medal of Honor. And then he was the first man to fly across the Atlantic. And he didn't, he's not known for it because he actually crash landed, but they gave him a flying cross for it. Which is like, why isn't he known for it? Because he crash landed because there was bad weather or something.
Dummy. What a dummy.
Anyways, he wanted to do a new expedition to the Antarctic, but, you know, that little thing called the Great Depression happened.
Boo, stop being poor, poor people. Boo.
Yeah, that's what the Republicans in the Great Depression said.
Stop it. That's what they still
You're
say.
You're making us look bad.
They still say it to this day. Boo, poor people, shut up, boo.
So after that, he fought in World War II, and after that, they were like, all right, we got this operation for you. In 1946 and 1947, they're like, we're going to fund this thing for you. Operation, it was entitled the United States Navy Antarctic Developments Program, and it was an operation organized by Robert Byrd. He was now promoted to Rear Admiral.
Rear Admiral? Admiral of butts.
Admiral butts. He's a bird butt.
Bird butt.
Yeah, so they gave this dude like an aircraft carrier, some destroyers, and a whole bunch of ships and 4,000 troops, and it was supposed to be for just some scientific experiments, like on how to live in the snow and how to set up air bases in the Arctic. It's like, why are you doing it here? You could do this in like fucking Norway or something.
Fishy.
So that's what it was supposed to be for. But when Byrd was asked what he was doing, he blatantly stated, my mission is military in nature. He admitted it was a military mission. It wasn't just exploratory and scientific.
So he was going to fight the penguins?
He hates the penguins.
Fuck these penguins. Blowing them up.
They walk around like Nazis. Speaking of Nazis.
That's where they were.
There is supposedly a secret Nazi base in Antarctica. There's a cover-up because there's supposedly a secret Nazi base down there.
What?
Because there's been secret U-boat trips going down there since the beginning of the war for no reason. There's no war in Antarctica.
No.
So what are they setting up there? What are they setting up down there?
Obviously, there's a lot of people interested in fighting these penguins.
Yeah, since 1939, they've been having missions in Antarctica, supposedly claimed a large area the size of Germany and built a large citadel for their dork. I mean, Führer.
He's a big dork. He's a big fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole. But they supposedly claimed a huge Germany-sized area in Antarctica and were building a huge citadel. And that is apparently where all of the Nazi officials and maybe even Hitler himself escaped after the war.
And killed the penguins.
No, they're still there. That's where the March of the Penguins happened, and the penguins actually killed.
And the penguins killed the penguins?
The penguins actually killed the Nazis. That's what March of the Penguins is about.
Oh, Damn! There you go.
But we're not here to talk about the Nazis today, because...
That is a conspiracy theory for another
day. For another day. We definitely opened up a huge can of Hollow Earth worms on this one.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I don't really fucking need to talk about fucking piece of shit Nazis right now.
Yeah. So, but where does the Hollow Earth come in?
Well, Richard Byrd, while he was flying around down there, he may have stumbled upon one of them holes.
One of them pole holes?
One of them pole holes.
You be talking about these pole holes.
Yeah, he wants to pay the pole troll to get into that pole hole.
You gotta pay the pole troll if you want that pole hole.
So here are some entries from his flight log. I have official entries. 9:10 a.m. Both magnetic and gyro compasses beginning to gyrate and wobble.
First he's old, then he's British.
I'm just gonna do my voice. We are unable to hold our heading by instrumentation. 10 o'clock. We are crossing over a small mountain range and still proceeding northward as best as we ascertain. Beyond the mountain range is what appears to be a valley with a small river or stream running through the center portion.
Is he having an orgasm?
There should be no green valley below.
Oh my god.
Something is definitely wrong and abnormal here.
Oh. And then 5 minutes later.
5 minutes later. I alter altitude to 1,400 feet and execute a sharp left turn to better examine the valley below. It is green and either moss or some type of tight-knit grass. The light here seems different. I cannot see the sun anymore. We make another left turn. We spot what seemed to be a large animal of some kind below us. What is that?
What is it?
It appears to be an elephant.
No! What? Oh my god.
It looks more like a mammoth.
No.
It is incredible.
Oh my god.
Yet there it is.
Oh my god.
I'm Frasier. Decrease altitude to 1,000 feet and take binoculars to better examine the animal. It is confirmed it is definitely a mammoth-like animal. Report this to base camp. And then here's another entry into his... There's another secret diary that he published years later. Because he apparently, those were, the flight logs were, like, kept secret by the government. And this is another thing he said. I have just attended a staff meeting. This is March 11th, 1947. I have just attended a staff meeting at the Pentagon. I have stated fully my discovery.
Why is he so horny for this?
And the message of the master. And the all is duly recorded. The president has... been fully advised. I am now detained for several hours. 6 hours, 39 minutes to be exact. I am interviewed intently by top security forces and a medical team. It was truly an ordeal, I tell you. This can be the only hope for mankind. I have seen the truth and it has quickened my spirit and has set me free. I have done my duty toward the monstrous military industrial complex. What is he saying?
This is just Google. Those certainly were all words that he said in a very sexual way.
Frasier is definitely always sexual.
Frasier is very turned on by talking.
Well, Frasier has discovered the Hollow Earth.
Frasier. I will never understand why you think Frasier's funny.
Frasier is hilarious. Come on, someone back me up.
It's not.
Well, Frasier's now a recurring character.
If you think Frasier is funny, please tweet at us.
Frasier's a genius.
Frasier is not funny.
Kyle will back me up on that at least.
Kyle, please tweet at us. So there are some modern ones,
yes.
Some modern famous Hollow Earthers. Dallas Thomas, he first appeared on Coast to Coast talking to Art Bell. He declared that he was in a horrific car accident where the car flipped over and almost crushed him. While he was being rescued, he saw a bright light which burnt his eyes and legally blinded him. That caused him to have knowledge about Hollow Earth for some fucking reason.
Yep.
And he spoke on Coast to Coast about giant herds of mammoth and ancient people who had lived in the caverns inside the earth for the last 1,700 years. And he then revealed he had funding to find Hollow Earth using a helicopter backpack. Yep, that's how I felt when I read the helicopter backpack.
I just
too.
Hit my arm on the wall out of just
shock.
Shock.
Shock. And we do have some great clips.
I want a helicopter backpack.
Like a helicopter backpack.
When you were saying the word helicopter, I thought you were gonna stop after the word helicopter, and then you said backpack.
So here we have some clippage of Dallas Thompson talking to Art Bell.
Dallas Thompson. He sounds like a weatherman or a amateur wrestler.
He really does.
After reading just that, Dallas, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Where are you,
Bell.
Dallas?
Art Bell. We are located in Bakersfield.
You are in Bakersfield. Correct.
Art Bell.
Well, gee, Dallas. You really are honestly set on the 24th of May to go start looking for the North Pole, the hole, I guess, reported at the North Pole by Admiral Byrd. Is that really true?
That is true. Actually, the whole process has been an awakening within that started when I was a young child.
An awakening.
I'm really excited about what we have going on. As it became more clear to me about what would be going on and what we're going to encounter, I began to realize that we're going to have a pole shift. And that's what the inception of the solo trek. That's how it actually started. I brought it up with a few friends of mine. We're going to have a pole shift.
You can hear Bell going.
It seems to me that if there is a pole shift, one of the poorest places you could possibly be would be at the pole. Or is that wrong?
Actually, the pole, the hole itself is actually dimensional.
Here we go.
So it is a portal. The energy entrance basically would act as a shield because inside there's an inner atmosphere, and the inner atmosphere is a firmament.
No, wait a minute. You're already confusing me, Dallas.
All right. And so we also have another interesting moment later on.
Yeah.
UFOs, aliens are actually, they can take any form they need in any particular cycle.
Aliens.
For the Mayans, it was the Tiki gods. For Egypt, it was the Egyptian gods. For the Aborigine,
What about for the Christians, Dallas?
Well, basically, there's polarities in all energy. So...
said that they took the form of these various gods. Are they virtually taking the forms of all gods? You're saying that all gods really are aliens?
I think that they can...
is that a yes or a no?
Art Bell does not like that.
If they want to.
So
but it may not be the genuine script.
Are you thinking that all gods are aliens? That's the question.
Just say
I would say that...
Yes.
Yeah, they're an alien to our perception. But in the divine process and celestial balance, they... fit in with perfect harmony.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's cool.
Are all gods that we worship here on Earth, including the God of Christians, really aliens masquerading? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they can take any form they want.
Art Bell does not like that, because Art Bell is definitely a believer in God, so...
Our Lord and Savior.
Are you telling me that our aliens are gods? Is that what you're telling me?
Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
Say it to my face. Come here and fight me.
I love Coast to Coast, but sometimes, stop it.
So, this Dallas Thompson man, after this episode aired, he disappeared.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And some people, they thought it was in his attempt to find the Hollow Earth. But it is most likely that he went into hiding since he wrote his book and was called out on plagiarizing his book. And he's probably hiding from being sued.
That's probable also.
And then there is another more recent flat earther, Rodney Clough.
Yeah, Rodney Clough.
He's also appeared on Coast to Coast, but with George Norrie.
Yeah, George.
George Norrie.
What are you doing, Robert Clough? What's that? What kind of name is Clough?
And Rodney is a Mormon who believes that all the lost tribes of Israel would just love to hide inside of the hollow earth.
Yeah.
That's where they need to be.
Yeah, in the lava.
That's his beliefs. And he has scientific evidence, he believes, from earthquake data, as well as satellite photos of the polar caps, those poles holes.
The pole holes.
He uses some of his scriptures as evidence.
Oh, I love that.
Because you know those scriptures be evidence.
Hard, hard evidence. I'm all that in.
He's put together several failed expeditions. There was one flight.
Failed meaning like he went from Arizona to fucking Montana.
Well, no, the one they were about to leave on, and one the pilot got 6 brain tumors and died.
Oh my God. Jesus yeah. Christ.
So, oh my God. He's also written a book. But he did not plagiarize his book.
Oh.
I think maybe the other guy plagiarized from him.
Except for the scriptures. He plagiarized those.
I mean, those are from God.
Yeah, you plagiarized God, though.
He plagiarized aliens. Because I think that, I mean, this is my own conspiracy theory. I don't want to give away the goods. You have to listen to more episodes. So, let's play some Rodney Clough.
Rodney Clough, baby.
On George Norrie's Coast to Coast.
Rodney Clough was born and raised in the American Mormon colony of Colonia Juarez in the northern part of Chihuahua, Mexico. His ancestors
Chihuahua, were some Mexico. Of the
first colonizers George of America. Norrie.
So many Chihuahuas there.
Back to the Anglo-Saxon Vikings, to the tribe of Ephraim of the House of Israel. Rodney became interested in the hollow earth theory while working on a New Mexico farm at the age of 16, where the farm manager's son told the workers about the theory. Years later, Rodney saw an advertisement for Dr. Raymond Bernard's book, The Hollow Earth, and thereby started many years of study and research that has culminated in his e-book, World Top Secret,
World.
Our Earth is Hollow, which is available on his website, which I'll tell you about in a sec. Our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Rodney, how are you?
Very fine.
My pleasure. Boy, I've been wanting to do this topic for years, and I'm glad you're with us tonight.
Oh, I bet you did, George.
The fact where's my slippers?
You spent some time with us.
Well, very glad to be with you.
The story that you
bought the wrong pudding
on the farm, can you relate that to us?
Yes, when I was 16, with some colony boys, we got a job out on a New Mexico farm that was managed by my uncle's brother. And,
get to
the
it.
The guy that I was working
all
with
right.
Was an older fellow, also from the colonies. And one evening he told me that the farm manager's son had told him about this book that he had read, The Hollow Earth. And he commented
even George Norrie.
To the boys that he thought it was an ideal place for the Lord to hide the lost 10 tribes. And that
there
piqued
it is.
My interest, and it just stayed in the back of my mind. And years later, when I saw this advertisement for the book, I sent for it. It was about 1974, around about there.
Oh, man.
And I started
researching
this subject ever since then. And I have come up with a substantial amount of scientific, scriptural, and historical evidence that supports the hollow earth theory.
Here's a question for you. If the earth is hollow, don't you think we would have been told by it? It would have been spotted by satellites? Or has it been, and they're just not telling us? And if they're not, why?
1981, I
with
my family, we flew to Fairbanks, Alaska.
1981. God damn it, Rodney.
Well, he...
Rodney, where'd you put the sugar?
just old?
1982, I put the sugar in the cabinet.
He is very old.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear anything else from him. I will listen to the blind plagiarizing Thomas, what's you, who's it, Dallas.
It was way more interesting than
yeah. Dallas Thompson. Yeah, I'll listen to Dallas Thompson a million times before this rambling old man.
Well, I mean, I definitely don't think that we have heard everything on Hollow Earth.
Oh, no way.
I am ready tonight to close this file. What do you want to file it under, Jarrett? Believe or don't believe?
Man, Godzilla's there, so I believe.
I think there's caves, caverns, all kinds of weird underground systems. We haven't even explored the deep ocean enough.
Yep.
I'm going to say I believe it enough.
I take Godzilla movies as gospel. I believe it.
I don't believe in, like, Atlantis and shit.
But No. We'll have to take that as another case file another time.
Atlantis another day.
It is linked to this in some way, but we'll have to. That is another can of worms. We've said that like four times.
But
we have another tradition that we're gonna start, and those are things that we don't miss on the above ground.
We don't miss. We do not miss.
We
some
don't
things.
Miss these things.
We do miss some things, but we certainly don't miss. A lot of things.
A lot of things that we would have missed, we brought with us. We brought our dogs. We brought our archives, our case files.
Yeah.
Our nugs.
Our each other.
Sweet sticky nugs.
Yes.
But, we're going to do a list. Not a list. Just throw some things that we don't miss. We're happy that they burned away.
They're dead.
Yeah.
All right, Jarrett.
You want to go first or me?
You go.
Okay, first thing I don't miss is cyclists sharing the road.
Because they don't.
They don't share the road. And they don't stop at stop signs either.
Or, you know what?
But I have to stop at stop signs, and if I don't or roll through it, they look at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so, don't miss them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. And number two, potatoes only really cooking fast in the microwave.
Fuck that.
What the fuck?
They don't cook on the grill at all.
No, you think grill, there's tons of fire. Yeah, you put it right on the fire and you put it on there longer than it is in the microwave and it's still harder than a rock. I don't know what the fuck that... I don't understand physics sometimes.
Bullshit.
And number three, it's another stupid vegetable one, but hey, I've been gardening a lot. So, bugs eating my damn tomato plants.
Like, why is this the one tasty leaf you need?
I know, right?
Go eat another one.
Thankfully, we now have hydro down in the underground, and we got all
our
plants.
Yeah, there's no bugs down
here. No bugs escaped from the great burn, so.
Yeah, they all got fucking frayed.
Except for one cricket that I can't find down in there in the bunker. I hear it. So that's my things that I won't miss.
All right, there's some things I'm not gonna fucking miss.
All right, what
I'm gonna tell
things?
You. Number one, landlords.
Oh, I
they
hate
can
those.
Really be a fucking pain in my
ass. I hate those landlords.
They're always being like, oh, well, it's my property. Well, I'm living in it.
Yeah.
It's my home.
Yeah.
It's your house, but it's my home, you fuckface.
Toes in your face, you stupid.
Doctors that suggest woo medicine.
Oh my gosh.
Number two.
How about a little bit of acupuncture?
Yeah, okay, why don't you stick a needle into your fucking pussy?
why don't you put a little essential oils in your nose?
Why don't you fucking eat my entire asshole? Eat it. And then number three. When Netflix asks, are you there?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Only after three episodes. Are you there? You know what? I'm depressed. Jesus. I'm watching 15 today. I'm going to watch a whole season of The Office. Don't bother me.
Yeah, if I fall asleep or leave the room and I accidentally let it run, I'll find the one I fucking left off on.
It's like, are you checking in on me? No, you're not. Yeah. You're just making me feel bad.
Jesus
Making Christ. Me feel bad. And
just in case you forgot, just in case you were worried that this is a new show, a new format, you thought we may not be doing our praising of our Lord, we have a new thing to say.
We have a new ending.
Yes.
Nature has a balance.
He is that balance.
Praise Godzilla. And thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much. This is our first new episode, and we love for you to join us and join the society.
Join the society. Shh, don't tell anybody. Shh, praise a secret. Godzilla. Prince Godzilla's secrets.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you next time.